And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic, and on today's show, we are talking about our favorite things about Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Before we get into that, we've teamed up with Audible to give you a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/magic and download your free audiobook today. One suggestion we would make is Walt Disney, An American Original. Really good book, and you can get it for free. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/magic.
All right, so let's get started. Disney's Animal Kingdom.
So this is 10 things that we love about Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yep.
So what you want to start off by just listing them out, or why don't you tell a little bit about how we discovered the Animal Kingdom?
So Animal Kingdom is relatively new, being that it first opened in 1998. So it hasn't been around for that many years. And I remember when it first came about, I wasn't too thrilled about it. And it was kind of making my own assumptions without even going to the park. We had gone to Disney a few times and we sort of skipped it. And there really wasn't any reason other than maybe I'm just not so great with change. And I just was happy with the parks. There's so much to see in Epcot and Hollywood Studios that we just kind of never ended up at Animal Kingdom. And finally, we ended up there 1 year and we've been going back ever since. We make that part of our 4-day park experience. Animal Kingdom is usually, we go on later in the week, like a Friday. It's usually less busy later in the week. And
don't say that.
I just gave away one of my secrets.
I mean, you want to go on a Wednesday.
You want to go on a Monday, Tuesday. I think the reason why we had skipped it was also because we, not necessarily, I think because maybe it closed sooner than the other parks and we didn't think that we were getting the most out of our money by going to this particular park. Like I said, we were making assumptions before actually visiting the park, which was a shame. I wish I didn't do that, but you kind of live and learn. So, you know, don't be discouraged about the 6 o'clock closing time. If you get there early, it is a full day experience. And by 6 o'clock, you're exhausted and are ready to go to your back to your hotel. So don't feel like, because it is also one of the largest parks. So you do a lot. Be sure to wear comfortable.
And it always feels 20 degrees hotter in the Animal Kingdom than it does anywhere else. So if it's, you know, 60 degrees out, it's going to be 85 to 95 in the Animal Kingdom. I don't know why.
Don't you think? I know it's got to do something. Got to do with like the tropical feel of, well, not only Florida, but sort of the evergreens and everything that are down there that makes you feel.
Yeah, it feels super hot and moist.
Yeah.
Like the Tonga toast.
Yeah, make sure you go on those river rapids at some point. Which you by the way, one of my tips here on the river rapids we'll get into, but bring a change of shoes, like a flip flops, if you're going on that. Remember the kids were soaked to their shoes.
Yeah, and they had trash bags on too.
So
let's get into this 10 things we love about Animal Kingdom. You go first, you give your 7, then I'll give my 3.
Okay, I'll give the 17 and we'll be done.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things I love about Animal Kingdom, and it's hard to miss, is the Tree of Life, which is sort of the, you know, landmark of Animal Kingdom. It's sort of in the center of the park and it's what, you know, Disney uses as their sort of theme for the park. But I never realized all the times that we had gone, there's actually a show inside the Tree of Life. And one thing I will tell everyone is that when you visit this particular park, really read the map and the show times, because you're going to miss a heck of a lot and you're going to end up leaving earlier thinking that the park didn't have a lot to offer. But it's basically because there's a lot of things that are actually hidden, as is this show that I'm going to talk about. And it's called It's Tough to Be a Bug. And it's a 3D film. It's with Disney Pixar. It is hilarious. So you're in this tree of the tree of life inside.
And it's a 3D show.
Didn't I say that?
Did you?
I think I did.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
So you go through this like pathway in the tree with like these tangled roots everywhere and branches. And finally you get into the actual show part of it. The doors open and you sit down and you wear these 3D glasses, but what you don't realize, at least what I didn't realize, is actually like a 4D experience. Like there's things that tickle you and smells and all this craziness that goes on.
Where were you?
What do you mean? Oh my God. I can't. Oh gosh!
I don't remember any of that.
You don't remember that?
You got the special seat.
They did. I think I did.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that the kids
this
will...
is a family podcast, by the way.
Okay, I'm sorry. One of the things that the kids still talk about is the stink bug smell. Oh, yeah.
That was funny.
But anyway, so I guess one of the things I love about the Animal Kingdom is that things are sort of, you kind of have to go find things. Like it's not right out in the open. You don't just kind of fall into things like you do at the other parks, like at the Magic Kingdom. This is sort of like tucked away and hidden. It's tough to be a bug show is really worth it. If you have little kids, it does suggest that, you know, you kind of take in consideration that there are loud sounds. And I think there was a couple of screaming babies when it came down to these like buzzing bees that came out. Remember?
Yeah, that's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
If you're allergic to bees, which I am, they're not real bees. You don't have to run out of there screaming like a little girl like I did.
He's little. So just keep that in mind. I would say, you know, under 2 is probably a little intense, or even 3 and under. It might be a little intense unless you talk to you through. Like our 3-year-old wasn't fazed by anything. So.
Right. It was a good one. Can I go into mine?
Sure.
Are you done?
I am.
Excellent. Mine is the Tree of Life as well, but it's the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people actually take the time and look at the Tree of Life because every single little nook and cranny of the Tree of Life is some kind of animal.
True.
And I don't think that – I think they're like, oh, there's the Tree of Life. Let's keep walking.
Yeah.
Like, take the time and really digest the Tree of Life and, you know, what it is and what it has to offer and see if you can really find as many animals as you can.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's sort of like taking the time to kind of, I think people that go down to any of the parks are so fast paced. They think they're going to miss something if they don't hurry and run to the next thing. So I think at Animal Kingdom, you can chill out a little bit and relax and just kind of map out your day, but don't be too rigid on the map, but like do what Bruce said and really take the time to look at the Tree of Life and the carvings. It's beautiful.
Yeah. This is the one park where it brings in a lot of different other cultures. You know, Epcot does that a little bit in the pavilion, but this really, okay, when you go to the different areas of Animal Kingdom, especially like Africa and Asia, you're really immersed in those countries.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So it definitely is an experience that you don't get to see anywhere else. So it's a wonderful experience. And I, you know, regret not going from the beginning when it opened. But hey, you know, never too late, right?
Yeah, we always talk about in these podcasts not rushing around. So you can't always go to every single park every time you go. Maybe you should take the time and say, hey, I'm going to go to one or two parks this visit and really digest all that they have to offer. And then the next visit, I'll go on the other ones.
Or if you want to do 4-day parks, just kind of, yeah. I see. I like visiting all 4.
It is. It's nice to visit all 4 parks, but if you're there for 5 days, visiting 4 parks is a lot.
Yeah, no, that is a lot. It is hard to digest anything with the, yeah.
But I understand, you know, not everybody gets to go to Disney 17 times a year.
That's true.
You know, some people only go once or twice at all.
Right. So this way, you know, and that's part of the show is just to show them what they can expect and they can make their own decisions on where they should go or whatever.
Oh, I thought the point of the show was to tell them what to do.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Go ahead. What's your next one?
So my next one, which is something, again, look at the map, look at performance times, and map out your day. Because when you start off at the Animal Kingdom, it's so big that if you end up at a certain part of the park and then there's show times, across, you just want to make sure you're not, like, the first time I went, I think we kind of did that mistake where there was, we wanted to see something at one side of the park, and then we ended up walking 15 miles to the next part of the park.
Yeah, it's a large park.
So just map out your day. But this one here, I'm so glad we did, was a show, and it was the Festival of the Lion King. And I love the Lion King. I know that a lot of people do, but they really, I mean, I thought, okay, how good can it be? Because, you know, the movie's so great. I mean, it's going to be cute, but no, it's really like, I love, they got the audience involved. They really, there's the acrobats in there and just,
yeah, the acrobats on this Festival of Lion King are amazing.
Really amazing. And the show goes on, it's usually every hour. So it's, you know, you don't have to rush, but just make sure that you map it in at some point of your day. But it's a 30-minute show. And again, I mean, it's some of the things I've never seen before. And you really feel like you're at a Broadway show. It's amazing. The performers were outstanding.
Yes, they were. They were pretty good.
And the kids were even like...
They make you interact with the show, which is good too. They don't just... It's not just a show where you just sit there and watch. You know, they make you... They have the different sections. If you've never been there before, they have the different sections with different animals. And then you have to come on and, you know, it's like a contest.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I like that. I love that. I love seeing, like, especially like young kids get involved, and it's so cute. So I really recommend seeing that. And again, that's not something that... The first few times we were in the Animal Kingdom, again, we didn't see any shows. We didn't stop to see any shows. We were just kind of, we didn't really map out the park very well. Like I said before, we kind of went from place to place, not really thinking how far certain things are. Like Asia is really far from, you know, the other part of the park. So,
and if you, like you said earlier, if you're going to do the shows, you really have to see what time those shows are playing and where you're going to be at that time. Because you don't want to be in Dinosaur Land and then go have the Festival of the Lion King, because it's way across the other way.
Exactly.
Especially if you have little kids, because it's a lot of walking.
Yeah,
the
and again,
better you can plan. Sorry, the better you can plan it out, the better experience you'll have.
Were you just going to apologize for interrupting me?
I started to, and then I caught myself.
I almost caught it. I was like, "Wait, what's happening?" All right. So, being serious.
Okay. So now is my turn.
Oh, you're doing some?
Oh, you're not on 7 yet?
Go ahead.
Mine is the queue at Everest.
Oh, that's a great one.
Not necessarily the ride. The ride is awesome. You know, that's probably one of the better roller coasters in Disney property. It's a really fun ride. But the queue is amazing. This is like one of the best queues that I've ever been in. It's the most entertaining queue that I've been in. You walk through and it's all Himalayan and Bigfoot memorabilia and hiking stuff. It's really interesting to see. And it almost makes you feel like the stuff is real, even though you know it's not. Makes you think about it when you're like, is that real Bigfoot foots?
Bigfoot foots.
Did I say that? But it's an interesting queue. I love it. I think that's the most interesting queue while you're waiting for a ride. It makes the time go by super quick.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most interesting places while waiting for an attraction that I've ever seen in Walt Disney World property, which says a lot because they always do phenomenal things. And I think that especially with Everest, it's a very popular attraction, so there is going to be a line if you don't have fast passes. But it doesn't feel like you said, it doesn't feel that long. It's pretty, kids are pretty entertained. We're pretty entertained throughout.
I think this is one of the tip that we could give you, or I could give you, is don't get a fast pass for this one, or maybe get a fast pass, but go on it twice without a fast pass. Cause it's a totally different experience when you have the fast pass, you don't get to really see the queue as much.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. I'm so glad you said that. Cause I feel like that's something that I would always get a fast pass for, because it's just a popular ride that the kids really like. But I think that you're right, because it's almost like you can go on it twice and not feel.
Yeah, the single rider line, it actually skips all the exhibits. So if you are a single rider, you don't even get to see any of that.
True.
So you really want to make sure that maybe skip the fast pass for this and get a fast pass for the safari ride, which is the queue is hot and not nice.
Muggy.
Yeah. You know, if I'm going to get a fast pass for that, I'm going to get a fast pass for the dinosaur ride and then for a safari. You know, when you get your two fast passes for your band.
Oh, you, yeah.
I'm not.
You know about that?
I just read about it.
I was going to say, I'm the one that does all the planning.
Come on. I know a little bit about Disney.
So speaking of fast passes and dinosaur, that was going to be my next one. is the attraction called Dinosaur. And the reason why that is really cool is because I actually never in a million years expected what I expected. I don't want to give too much away because I feel like it's an experience that everyone should kind of have and
be, a surprise.
Yeah, it was just such a cool. I mean, well, first of all, the best part was bringing our mother-in-law, your mother-in-law, my mom.
Your mother-in-law. Wow, that's weird.
I don't know what's going with that, but she, you know, she expected this like slow pace, and it isn't that intense. So I wouldn't have brought my mom on there, you know. But she, although I did bring her on the Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios, but that's another day. It's just a cool, really cool. Energy ride that I never, it's like a high energy, but not intense, too intense. Like it's just like a perfect medium, lots of like pre-show sort of, you kind of feel like you're really part of this mission before the attraction starts. And the dinosaurs are insane.
Yeah. Like, if you've never been on this ride, it's way more exciting than you think it's going to be.
It really is. And it's sort of,
and
again,
intense.
It is intense. And it's tucked away again at a part that you almost can walk right past and not see it. And I know we were guilty of that again. God, what were we thinking the first few times we were down there? We really didn't see anything.
We were thinking, where the heck's our kid? Oh my God, there's a little kid over there. Okay, where's our other one? Oh my God, it's lunchtime. They're hungry. Oh my God, they're going to start crying soon.
But I think that's what we're thinking. Yeah. But really, it's because we didn't plan it. We didn't look at the map, I don't think, once. I think we had the map in our carriage or stroller. And we probably looked at it like once or twice, but this is the type of park you really have to kind of organize. Even if you're not an organized person, I think that this is the type of park that you're going to, again.
It's because there's so many shows in this park. This park is more shows than I think any other park, right?
It is more shows, but I feel like things are sort of.
What I mean by shows is like timed shows at specific times, not so much every 10 or 15 minutes.
Right. And things aren't like they are in other parks where it's sort of like laid out for you. It's kind of like Epcot in the sense where there's a lot to see in the countries in Epcot that people miss. You kind of have to go find it.
Right.
And it's not looking at the map with the show times and the attractions. And
that's what people don't do. They see that there's only four or five rides, and then they see that there's some shows. And if they're not a show person, then they're like, I'm just going to go to half day at Animal Kingdom. But it's really a full day. You can spend the full day there and not see everything.
It's so true. It's a full day and it's a long day. You can, you know, I think that the people that think it's a half day park are really not, like you said, really just kind of immersing themselves in the experience and really trying to see what it all has to, the park has to offer.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. But anyway, Dinosaur, must do. It's probably one, and I know because there's so many attractions, but it's probably one of my favorites. I would say my top attraction in all of Walt Disney World.
Really?
Yeah, because again, it's like a perfect happy medium of, I mean, I like intense, I like roller coasters, but this is just.
It's funny how both, like my next one that I'm going to give is my favorite ride in all of Disney World. And it's funny how that both of our favorite attractions are in this one park where we didn't even really go there a lot in the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, awkward silence there. Let's go to the next one then.
Okay.
All right, number six. Mine is the Kilimanjaro Safari.
Wow, you actually said that right, Bruce. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Kilimanjaro Safari, you can go,
I could literally get off that ride, go back on again. I could do that the whole day.
Yeah.
And you could do that the whole day and see something totally different every single time.
So I'm just going to take that attraction as far as like we've been on many times, but what were your first sort of, what were your thoughts before going on that attraction? Like
the first time that I went on what I was expecting it to be almost like the Jungle Cruise.
Oh yeah.
You know, like you go on the Jungle Cruise and there's no real animals. I knew there was real animals there, but I thought it was going to be a little fake animals thrown in. And then what you find when you go on there is that it's completely, it looks completely real. Like the giraffes come right up to your car. You know, if they're in the middle of the road, the cars don't move. They wait. They don't beep. Nobody running out there to move anything. You know, it looks like it's 100% natural. Now, I know it's not 100% natural, and I know that there's stuff where the animals go, but they let them roam out there just like they would in the savannah. And how far you drive out, you can't see anything else. So it really looks like you're out there.
Yeah. It's so true. And like you said before, they don't beep. They don't, if there's, you know, an animal walking across the particular Jeep that you're on, they won't try to scurry it off. They take the natural approach, and you'll be sitting there for a few minutes. And that's the one, you know, the reason why that the line on the attraction is takes a while. But I think that is really unique, and you get to see animals a lot more up front than I ever expected.
Yeah, they're right in front of you, and the drivers are always funny.
They really are.
And they're all different too. They don't have the same script over and over again. It's kind of like they go in the same kind of feel, but they throw their own two cents in there, which is cool.
Yeah, so it's really not the same sort of thing twice.
Yeah, you can go on three times in a row, and as long as you have a different driver, I'm sure the same drivers say the same things, but different drivers have different ways about, you know, bringing a little humor to the ride.
Definitely.
All right, what's your number seven?
So my number seven has to be, I mean, it's hard because like you said, I have a lot that I want to go on there, but I know we talked about Everest and this is the attraction, but I really, really didn't think I would love Expedition Everest as much as I did. And the first few times I didn't go on, it looked too scary from where we were standing. I was my daughter and I kind of looking up and thinking, we're going to skip this one.
Yeah, the first time that we went on, I think our youngest daughter was 4. And mm-hmm. I took her on alone with our middle daughter because our oldest daughter didn't want to go on. She thought it was too scary. And you waited with her. And to see our 4-year-old go on Everest and like hanging over the railing, oh, look at that. Well, what's that over there? And I was like petrified that she was going to fall out. But that was my first experience. And she loved it. It was her favorite ride. She talks about it to this day.
She literally talks about it to this day. We have video. It's a little dark, though, because it gets dark in the ride itself. And I think you were recording with your phone, or I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 years ago. So it was probably one of the first iPhones that came out, or Droid or something like that.
But it's hilarious. And she has a big smile on her face from ear to ear. And it's just, it's a really fun roller coaster. I know it sounds kind of like I don't know. I think that Disney does a really great job blending sort of like the intense with the sort of story. So you feel, I think, more excited than the ride attraction is. Like there's not that many big steep drops in the ride, but it's just like the whole story while you're on the ride, you feel it from start to finish. And that's what I love about it. I love that when you go backwards.
Yeah. It's unexpected too. If you've never been on the ride before, you know, you don't expect it.
Well, now that we told everybody, they'll expect it.
It doesn't go backwards.
It does none of that.
No.
So
number eight, moving on to number eight. My number eight, actually, I just forgot what I was just going to say.
Oh. Well, we can go to mine.
All right, go. You do yours, because I totally just forgot what I was going to say.
Well, mine is going to be, and there's a lot of dining options in the Animal Kingdom. There is well, I guess not a lot of dining, but the unique. And what I really was surprised with, and I don't know if this will be on Bruce's list or not, but I was really impressed with the Yak and Yeti. Like I thought it had a really different sort of menu, and it's Asian menu.
This is the quick service Yak and Yeti.
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, the restaurant itself, Yak and Yeti, is right next door, and that looks cool. I've never eaten there. I'm sure it's really good, but you know, for quick service. When I go down to Disney, I try to sort of think about ahead of time what we're eating, and I don't like to sort of fall in the same category every time we're eating something. So if we had sandwiches one day, I really don't want to have sandwiches the next. So when we got to this one, I saw the menu beforehand, and they had all these different Asian-type quick service meals, and the portions were huge. It was really good. So yeah. I really liked the, I guess the different flavors that you get when you're at the Animal Kingdom that you don't get anywhere else. I mean, other than Epcot, but that has.
Yeah, they do have a lot. They have a new market that opened up too, and it has a lot of African stuff that's newer to the park. And it's, you know, if you want to go try out some different flavors, you know, some things that you won't get at home, or maybe you don't have the courage to try at home. But the atmosphere immerses you in that culture that makes you want to try that stuff.
Exactly. So
my number nine is – you're not going to like my number nine.
Oh, I wonder why.
Can I say what it is, or should I just wait?
No, you can go ahead.
All right, mine is the gorillas.
Yeah.
I know I just gorillas.
I just took a deep breath when you said it, actually. This is wrong with me.
I'm going to text you a video of a gorilla just to scare you while we're talking about this.
Oh, God. Well, I don't
know. The feeling of a good gorilla. I love that you can go close to the gorillas and see them. I mean, when we were there, it was kind of cold, so the monkeys weren't out, but the gorillas were out, and these guys are ginormous. And they're awake.
They were?
Yeah. I mean, they were eating and running around, and even though there's a big, giant moat in front of you, they feel close. And that you can take a picture, and you can zoom right in, and you can really see how they interact with each other and run around. It's really interesting.
I really don't love gorillas for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I have to say that that is definitely something that everyone should take the experience and see. And once again, we didn't see this the very first few times that we've gone down there. You know, I think you just have to be prepared. Florida is very hot. So this particular park, I feel like there's a lot of walking and you're outside a lot. So you really need to prepare yourself when you're down here to just stay hydrated and stay cool for however you can. Because it just definitely, I think that might have been the reason why we did a few of the times didn't see as much as we saw it. But the thing about it is that, once again, if you kind of break up the day and go in and see these shows, I know I talked about Disney's Lion King, but if you go to see, you know, there's the Finding Nemo one, that's a good 45 minutes where you're indoors nice and cool.
Yeah, the Lion King one, the Tree of Life, the Finding Nemo, even the dinosaur rides inside.
Exactly. So you really can take a break. So seeing the gorillas is definitely something that we didn't do the first few times because it is more walking. You have to go to see them. They're not, you know, it's not the part of the safari ride. So that's something that you need to prepare for. But again, if you organize your day right, you shouldn't feel as exhausted as we did the first few times. And our kids were young too. So if you don't plan and you have young kids, you know, under the age of 5, you know, we had gone and we had 3 under the age of 5. That's tough. You know, we kind of just were winging it, and that's not necessarily the best idea, especially at this park, because it also is, you know, don't forget even if you have the, park hopper, if you want to go back, it closes at 6. So if you want to get the full experience of the park, just plan your day so you can get there early 8, 9 o'clock and stay till 6.
Right.
Can't necessarily leave this park, go to your hotel and swim and then kind of, you know, regroup and go back. Like you can't.
Yeah, because this is a really big park. I mean, it dwarfs every other park in the size of it.
Right.
So you have to take that in consideration.
Exactly. So if you don't prepare, it's sort of, you know, you lose out.
Right. All right. So what's your number 10? Last one.
This is my last one. Oh, no, I can't. There's too much pressure.
There's no pressure.
I think I'm not even going to choose one thing on this, if that's okay by you.
Well, it's 10. What are you going to choose? 5 things?
Well, I was just going to say the park itself, like I'm just like the feel of the park as a whole. And the one thing I love about this park is that it's, you know, a lot of people think it's a zoo and it really is not a zoo. It's so much more than meets the eye when you're looking even online and you're trying to think about the park itself. Like, I think that most people don't really get to understand what the park stands for. And I do think that that's why they're expanding the park now and adding Pandora to get to a point where the park is a longer day. So people will give it more of a chance.
Yeah. I was just going to say people will give it, you know, if they know that they can be there all day. I don't know why people rush around so much. Everybody tries to rush around, you know. Just because the park closes at 6 or 7 doesn't mean that there's not a lot to do, and then you're not going to be wiped out by 6 or 7.
Exactly. And if you do it right, you're going to see so much more than you ever expected. I really love – I remember when the first few times we were down, there's a place in the park in Dinoland, USA, and it's called the Boneyard. That's a really cute place, and we don't really go there now because our kids are older, but I think I'm going to throw that in there, maybe not as my number 10, but
– 9.5?
Yeah, 9.75. It's the Boneyard. It's so cute. Kids are sort of
do a bonus. That'll be the bonus.
They'll be the bonus. It's just like an interactive little spot for young kids. I mean, or if you're young at heart, yeah. Just a cool place to kind of regroup and chill out.
It's an enclosed area, so you can let your children run around there, and you can kind of take a break while they run around if it's too hot for you or you want to sit down and have a drink of water or get something to eat real quick and let your kids run around. And it's not like they can run around like crazy. It's an area that they'll have fun in. It's almost like a park that you'd find at home, but Disney style.
Right. So it's cranked up a lot.
Yeah.
Which is cool too. There's like these huge fans there and there's like music. And so it really cools you down and kind of, again, like lets you regroup and the kids are having fun, but not, you know, to a point where they're tired or anything. It's a good way to kind of
wrap up the day.
Yeah. Wrap up the day or just like half the day after lunch maybe, or, you know,
yeah. Take a little break.
So I think that's going to do it.
Yeah. All right. So wrap up the day and wrap up this podcast.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Bit of both.
Okay, whatever you said.
I don't know there. I was trying to refer to that movie Guardians of the Galaxy where the guy goes, a bit of both.
A bit of both.
But I blew it.
Yeah, you lost your chance. You can't. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Unlocking the Magic. Hope you enjoyed it.
I know everybody did. I hope, because I've been seeing all the reviews. So one, I thought you were going to do a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. Do you have 5 minutes while I go get my phone?
Gosh,
fill in the air, dead air, Connie.
Okay, so while you're waiting for Bruce, be sure to visit us at unlockingthemagic.com for your free ultimate packing list that I've created. I keep adding to the list every year we go, because every year we go, I think of new things to put on the list. One of the things you're going to see on there, and please don't make fun of me out there, is theme dressing. I know it kind of sounds silly, but I also wanted to mention it today because we did talk about Disney's Animal Kingdom, and I love getting the family to dress up in either safari print or, you know, animal print clothing. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but it can be done tastefully, and everyone looks so great in pictures. So be sure to check that out. And ready, Bruce?
I am ready. Good job there.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4 new reviews since last week's episode. Zunders says, keys to a great experience at Disney. And they say in there that Connie's the sweet one and Bruce is, you know, Bruce. What does that mean?
What's that?
What do you mean?
Bruce is the sweet one?
No, it says Connie's the sweet one and Bruce is, you know, Bruce.
Oh, well, you know.
I guess she's right.
I think she's absolutely nailed it. And I just want to thank you out there for writing.
I think that was you. Was that you?
It might have been.
All right. Another one says, this is from Hello from Florida. This says, great podcast for everything Disney. I'm not going to read it the whole review, should I?
Yes.
The whole review?
Oh, well, just give the person credit.
Yeah, this is Hello from Florida. That's there. I think they're on Twitter from Hello from Florida as well. This next one is Must Listen for Disney Fans. This is from Chuck Land. That's his name on there. And then this one didn't leave a title. It's from Scott Quayle. It says, this is a little gem of Disney happiness. Simple in design, practical, practically perfect.
Aww.
So thank you all, everybody out there, for those reviews. If you leave your names and, you know, your websites or whatever in the review, we'll mention those in the episodes coming up too. If you haven't left us a review, if you go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, leave your name in there, and we'll mention it on a future episode. Probably won't do that on every episode, but maybe once a week or once every other week or something like that. And awesome. For all the show notes for this episode, sorry, go to unlockingthemagic.com. This is episode... Why do I always forget the episode number this is? This is episode... What is it? What episode is this? Episode 18, sorry.
Oh, okay, we did it. We have a winner, people.
Yes, episode 18 of the Unlocking the Magic podcast. And thank you, and we will see you at the end of the week for episode 19.
Awesome.
Bye for now.
Bye, everybody.